Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be following the prophecy of blessing as we pick up today's lesson in 2 Kings, chapter 22, verse 15. And now, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's message.
They went to Huldah, the prophetess, they communed with her, and she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken, and God's going to bring evil, this is the reason, because they have forsaken me. And in their broken cisterns they have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all of the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. In other words, they've gone too far. I think there comes a point of no return. When they've gone too far, God said, My wrath is kindled and will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which you have heard, that is the word of the law which was read to him, because your heart was tender, and you have humbled yourself before the Lord. When you heard what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation, a curse, and you have rent your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. And behold, therefore, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. For your eyes will not see all of the evil which I will bring upon this place. And so they brought the king the word of the prophetess. So it's going to come. Judgment is going to come. But because of your repentance, your tenderness, humbling yourself, your weeping before the Lord, it won't come in your lifetime. You will see peace during your reign. In other words, the judgment of God was forestalled or prolonged. But it's surely going to fall. Someone asked me this past week if I thought it was too late for the United States. And I answered, yes, I really believe it's too late. I think our only hope is the forestalling of the judgment of God by really turning to God with all of our hearts and really seeking the Lord. I think that we can forestall the judgment. But I really believe it's too late to avert it. I believe that God is going to judge the United States for the same reasons that he judged Israel, because we're guilty of doing the very same things. We're just as guilty as Israel. A nation that began with dependence upon God. A nation, when it became strong, turned its back upon God, and more we see our nation turning its back upon the Lord. The fire is kindled and cannot be quenched. So the king sent, and they gathered unto him all of the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He put out a notice, get all the elders together. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all of the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all of the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all of the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. Now the effect upon the king was a spiritual renewal. He wept before God, sought the Lord. Now he gathers the people that they also may hear the word of God. Oh, the power of God's word. Jesus said to his disciples, Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. I am rather amazed at how hard it is to find a church that teaches the Bible, when it is the word of God that brings revival to the hearts of the people. And so he gathered them together that they might hear the word of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar. And as this word was read, God, the word of the covenant again out of Exodus, as God said, if you will do these things, then I will be your God. And as they read the word of the covenant, when Moses read it, the people said, we will do all that God has commanded. They made that covenant with God. And God established covenant with them. Now, over the intervening years, they've broken that covenant. But as the law was read, the king before the people made covenant with God. He vowed to keep the law of God and to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, and to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood in agreement to the covenant. It's like all in favor stand, and they all stood that we will keep covenant with God. But as I said, it was only following the king. It was something that was not a genuine work within the heart of the people. I believe it was in the king himself. But many people were just sort of hangers-on, you know, jump on the bandwagon. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all of the vessels that were made for Baal and for the Asherim, or the Ashtoreth, or Venus of the Romans, and for all of the host of heaven, and burn them outside of Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and then carry the ashes of them to Bethel. And so they got rid of all of the trappings of these false pagan religions that have been brought into the temple by Manasseh under his evil reign, and get them all out of there, burn them, and then carry their ashes clear on up to Bethel so the ashes cannot leach into the ground around Jerusalem. And he put down the idolatrous priest whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places of the cities of Judah. They got rid of all of those idolatrous priests. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, and to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all of the host of heaven, or the word host there is mansions of heaven, or those, it refers to the zodiac, and those that were following the zodiac, as they have the different houses, the 12 houses of the zodiac, and that's exactly what it's a reference to, those that were following the stars, the zodiac, looking to their horoscopes for guidance and for direction. And he took all of these things out and he got rid of them. And he brought out the grove, that is the little image of the nude image of the Asherim, from the house of the Lord. And he took it outside of Jerusalem to the brook Kidron, and he burned it at the brook Kidron. And it was no doubt of metal, because they ground it into small powder, and they cast the powder upon the graves of the children of the people. And he broke down the houses of the Sodomites, the male prostitutes, which were related to the worship of the groves, to the Asherim. I can't even tell in a mixed company the filthy, vile things that you read in history concerning these male prostitutes. They were the Sodomites, the homosexuals, the male prostitutes. And of course, you read today of their activities, and it's nauseating. That were by the house, and they were doing this right by the house of the Lord. They had this house of the Sodomites and the prostitutes of Asherim right near the temple of God, where the woman wove their hangings for the Asherim. They would make these little embroidery type figurines and hangings for this goddess, female sex goddess. And he brought out all of the priests from the cities of Judah, and he defiled the high places where the priest had burned the incense. His great-grandfather Hezekiah had destroyed them. Under Manasseh, they were put back into use, and now he again destroys the high places, and all the way from Geba to Beersheba. And he broke down the high places of the gates that were the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand in the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of Hinnom, that no man might cause his son or daughter to pass through the fires to Molech. In other words, the place where they were sacrificing their babies, burning them to death, he destroyed there in the valley of Hinnom or Gehenna. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun, and the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. Now, according to the ancient superstitions, the sun was carried on a chariot drawn by horses through the sky each day. And they, you know, were objects of worship and veneration. And they even had these in Israel, in Judah, and he got rid of those. The altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, which we read about during Manasseh's reign, he did beat them down, broke them down from there, and cast the dust of them in the Kidron Brook. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of the Corruption. Mount of Corruption was the Mount of Olives, actually. That's where, first of all, Solomon had built high places for his wives, for he had married many wives from other nations, and they were used to worshiping on these high places, and so he built them the high places over on the Mount of Olives opposite of Ophel, there across the Kidron Valley on the southern slopes of the Mount of Olives. And it became known as the Mount of Corruption. And that whole area of the Mount of Olives became an area of pagan worship all the way up to Scopus. And so the right hand of the Mount of Olives, looking across from Jerusalem, the right hand would be then the southern slopes of the Mount of Olives, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Sidonians. This is that grove, the Azurim of the Hebrew, the Ashtoreth of the Babylonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king, he defiled all of these places where they had worshipped these pagan gods. And he broke in pieces the images. He cut down the groves, the Azurim, and he filled their places with the bones of men. Now, bones of human were considered unclean. If you would touch a bone of a skeleton, you would be ceremonially unclean. You'd have to bathe, and you could not go into the temple for a day. You'd have to go through a ritual bathing and then a purification rite before you could come to worship the Lord. He took these bones and put them on these places, which was really just sort of to show his disdain for them and to desecrate them. And he, moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he broke down and burned the high place and stamped it into small to powder and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchers that were there in the mount, and he sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed to proclaim these words. Now, let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 13. And as we go back to 1 Kings chapter 13, you're turning back 325 years of history. Here we read, "Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord," that is, by commandment from the Lord. "He came to Bethel, and Jeroboam, who was the first king of Israel, the northern tribes, stood by the altar to burn incense." This altar that he made in Bethel had the golden calf, said, "This is the God that brought you out of Egypt." "And this man of God cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, 'O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee.' And he gave a sign the same day, saying, 'This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar will be torn, and the ashes there upon it shall be poured out.' And when King Jeroboam heard this," you remember, "he stretched out his hand saying, 'Arrest that man,' and his hand froze." I mean, he couldn't pull it back again. And he said to the young man, "Pray for me that God will heal me." And the young man prayed, and he was able to use his arm again. But I want you to notice this. 300 years before Josiah was born, this young man is prophesying at this altar in Bethel, saying to the king, "There shall arise a young child from the house of David who will destroy this altar, those that worship, the priests that lead the worship, and he will burn bones of men upon it." How could he know that? How could he know the name except by God? I mean, this is specific prophecy that was fulfilled specifically. And according to the Hebrew language, it would appear, you see, Josiah didn't have this prophecy. You say, well, Josiah knew it was prophesied, so he went ahead and did it, you know. No, they had just found the law of Moses. They didn't have these other writings at that point. And here is Josiah fulfilling exactly what was said would happen over 325 years earlier. So, God's word, man, you can be sure it will come to pass. And so the altar that was in Bethel, verse 15, back to our text in 23, "which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place, he broke down, burned the high place, stamped it to small powder, and he burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied these sepulchres that were there in the mount. He sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord. Then he said, 'What is the writing that I see there?' So on one of the sepulchres there was this little tablet with an inscription on it. And the men of the city told him, 'It is the sepulcher of the man of God which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that you have done against the altar of Bethel.'" That's where that young prophet was buried, who came up and prophesied these things. And it's the inscription over his sepulcher there. "And he said, 'Let him alone. Don't let any man move his bones.' So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that had come out of Samaria and deceived him into coming back. And all of the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all of the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all of the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars, just as was prophesied by this young man. And he burned men's bones upon them, and he returned to Jerusalem." Now, during this period of history in which Josiah was reigning, the Scythians had begun massive invasions, And the Assyrians were attacked by both the Babylonians, who began to rise in power, and by the Medians. And so because of all of the turmoil up there, Assyria had to let go of her hold on all of these little provinces. Josiah just sort of had a free reign in his territory. He was just able to move on up into Samaria, into Bethel, which was a part of the area of Samaria, and actually sort of bring it back under his reign for a time. Until later, of course, the Babylonians came down, and they were the ones that conquered over Judah.
We'll return with more of our study of 2 Kings in our next lesson, as we follow Reforms of the Covenant. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online, anytime, when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Kings. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May we now be doers of the word and not hearers only, because that's self-deception. You've got to put it into practice for it to have any value in your life. Let the Spirit of God now minister to you its truth as He brings to your remembrance those things that we have studied, and He enriches you in your walk and in your faith, and in your life in Christ. May the Lord be with you and bless you, give you a good week, in Jesus' name.
Looking for direction and understanding? The truth is, our world values knowledge, but people don't always strive to know the most important things. You may be extremely knowledgeable about something, but if you don't have the wisdom of God, you're missing the most important knowledge a person can ever hope to attain. Join the tens of thousands who have benefited from reading Pastor Chuck's devotional, Wisdom for Today, which takes you systematically through the entire Bible, one day at a time. Start each day with biblical wisdom as Pastor Chuck gives practical, everyday examples in which to draw God's wisdom for your daily life. To order Wisdom for Today, a leather hardback for yourself or a loved one, please call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit us online where you can read a preview at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.